And on the box, basically.
I'm going to record the audio for this as well. So just a bit of a mix-up today in which we're you'll be able to watch what we do on our Talking Tough podcast. Which
is absolutely nothing.
Nothing but, just chat, drink coffee. And, if you're a listener, one of the seven listeners who subscribe. Molten coffee.
I think that's a good place to start, really, if you're going to come into big factual, is what coffee's your favourite? Well, obviously, this is big knowledge.
Where does it say who's watching?
No one's watching.
Well, mate. No one's watching right now, but obviously people can catch up later, so...
Probably won't, though.
I reckon we'll have maybe...
100
views. That's going well, isn't it, if we get 100 views?
What's that say?
Seven listeners. Oh, hang on.
James Major. Afternoon. Hi, James.
Is there writing on there? Wow, I can't...
James is in, yeah. James,
I need my glass. I can't read that.
Major.
So, yeah.
So obviously your favourite brew is probably the most important thing we need to go through in Talking Tough.
Yep.
I like to drink out of a thermos mask to keep it cold, because mask.
Good start.
That's what I do, is combine things, mate. I'm a time saver when it comes to this. And I like a bit of cold water on a black coffee. That is pretty much what I'm about. Standard, simple.
What would you call that?
Cold water on a black coffee, please. Slightly cool coffee, like myself. You know, cool and coffee, like energetic, maybe. Yeah. What's yours? Because you come up with fancy stuff. Because not be funny, but you look a little bit Italian, don't you? And you come out with these like Italian sort of.
What's it going on about?
Dino Baggio.
Oh dear.
Roberto Baggio.
He had a mullet, didn't he?
Awkward.
Yeah, but I think it depends on where I go. I could have a flat white. So if they make it good.
Also, if I can take out.
Spit it on the Astro. Don't spit the coffee on the Astro. So, or just an espresso.
Just a little one. Too easy to stop. Anyway, Alex.
I'm not telling you what mine is.
A fluffy cappuccino or something.
Oh, anyway, right, so now we're getting to like the meat of the quality of the talk. This way, and we like to probably go into it. We want to break people in easily. Just give people time to watch. I think that's what I was about.
Yeah.
So you touched down on one of your, if anyone reads any of the blogs, Rob touched down on like having a big goal,
Well, having a short goal, really, and actually. He's gone.
He's doing it on purpose, surely. He's doing it on purpose.
He's got coffee out of his nose. Oh, God. Rocky. On live.
If he's blowing that thing, it'll be a while.
Yeah, so, short-term goals. Obviously missed out the term just to make you really laugh. But if you have a short-term goal, it's great. Obviously, you're going to hit that. You might hit that if you've got support behind you to do that. But what happens then after you've got it? Have you got a long-term focus? Have you planned that in? Or is it just going to be get there and go back to normal, go back to bad habits?
It's a get-out plan, isn't it? Like, I think you.
Well, it's about looking at what... Imagine if you had looked at a year and you had two or three goals to achieve, but the time between when you get those, you almost relax a little bit. Yeah. Maintenance periods, what can you do between each goal to have a bit of fun? Because if you're on diet, for instance, it's not going to be that enjoyable to have low calories, but then to do, kind of enjoy going out, maybe drinking bits and pieces again that you missed, eating food that you missed, then getting back on track, because a lot of people will hit their short-term goal, go and enjoy those things they've missed, but start spiraling out back into bad habits. So what things can we look at?
Well, I think speaking with Dave earlier, one of my clients coming this morning, absolute hero, and it was funny because I probably look at Dave as how I'd quite like to be when I'm older, and that's, it's nice to be inspired by people around you. If you watch Dave train, he trains like a beast. It's funny.
What age bracket would you put Dave in?
Oh, geez, live. No, I think it must be like just 55, maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
Is that?
Like
maybe 50, 55. I'm absolutely used to
for that.
It's not Facebook, I don't think, so I'm pretty sound at that. Anyway.
30, maybe 30.
Yeah. What's that big yellow thing? Oh, no. Right, so he comes in, he was like, we were chatting away and he was sort of talking about the weekend and he was telling me about all this lovely food he cooks. And he almost does it all the time. He's like, yeah, you know, and actually, I was pretty good. I was like, what do you mean you were pretty good? I was like, were you dancing naked? Were you, what's good for you on the weekend? Like, he was like, no, no, I kept my clothes on. He said, but I was pretty good. I only had like, you know, a few glasses of wine. And that's cool. And I was like, well, that's for me, his kind of balance. I mean, he trained, like, we all know he trains, because he trains in here, he plays squash. He cycles like half of the thing, either spinning probably 3 times a week, but he loves that, and he does it so that he can almost have a little bit more fun on the weekend. Now, I'm not saying you can outrun a bad diet, but he's at a stage where he's like, that's what I want to be doing now. I'm not going to be a pro. He said, like, yeah, then he's been, you know, part of captain like rugby clubs, he's done the squash thing, he's done all this sort of stuff, and that's great. And he's now at a point where he sort of takes his foot off the gas the majority, but he still has like twice in a year. And I said, Dave, that's kind of how I'm at though. Like, I probably have 2 times in a year or 2 things in a year potentially.
Not the opposite.
No.
Two short periods of time where you focus on
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's it. Not like two times in a year where I'll hit it and I'll be like, right, I'm gonna really sort of go for it. Yeah, there might be different levels. So people who are trying to lose weight for something special, like a wedding, birthday, whatever, holidays, times with, you know, family, friends, or whatever it is, they can really hit it. But then don't feel guilty that on the times off. And don't feel like you have to go completely crazy either, because you can still manage. Like, you know, Saturday's your playtime. Often, you know, like on a Saturday, you'll go for, like, I don't know, whatever it is you have, like pizza, steak, drink, whatever. And you can have that off. But then during the week, there's...
All the above.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Pizza, steak in your pizza.
Cheesecake.
Cheese.
Beer, wine.
Apple crumble.
Anyway, but then in the week, you're pretty militant almost. Like, you know, you're quite regimented in some respects. Like, you'll hit almost the same food. Like, I could pretty much tell you what you're going to eat tomorrow in some respects.
And the timings.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because if you don't get the timings right. But, you know, and that's just kind of a way of balancing life. And as you say, like, when you're doing it, it's almost knowing what to do when you're not, like, smashing it. Because I think people go on diets, as you'd call it, and they often get given, like, I've got to do A, B, C, and D, and they do it, and they almost feel like they're being restricted heavily, which sometimes I don't think is a bad thing, because,
yeah, short like, term you might need it.
For me, I have to, like, if I'm going to not do chocolate, I'm off, I'm like, there's no chocolate. It's not like I can have, like, you put up a post the other day, like, you could have Curly Whirly a day, or Chomp, whatever it may be, and 100 calories of chocolate.
Chomp, yeah, I missed that one.
Chomp's my favourite. That was a bit
good
upset.
Shout.
Thank you. Yeah. But I wouldn't have any of it, because as soon as I have, like, I could, like, you have a big bar of chocolate, you said, that we discussed last week, and you have bits of it. Like, there's no chance of that for me. Like, I'm an all or nothing person. Like, you give me, and Sue and I were talking about it the weekend, and those who know, like, we basically, if we go out, sort of, it's like we're out, or we're not. I'm not saying that's the best way to be, it certainly isn't, but it's kind of my mentality a little bit, so
yeah,
I work with that.
Out, or is it not?
Yeah, like, am I coming out? Do you want to come back for a couple of drinks on Sunday afternoon? No, if I'm honest, I don't. Like, it's nice, I'll come and speak to you, and I'll have water, Diet Coke, whatever I fancy, but I'm not going to have one or two drinks, really. And people are like, I enjoy it. Yeah, I don't mind it, but I also will probably get what I call the taste, and then I'll be on a lively one, and I won't do that on a Sunday. Like, I don't really like to be out of the house past 4 o'clock on a Sunday, to be honest.
School night.
Such a school night. So, how do you work around going, right, okay, yeah, I've got a game time, the wedding, this you know, this lady had, and then how do you get around coming off the back of it?
I think when you have got a goal, it's sometimes easier to, especially if you see a lot of progress short term, to keep going.
Yeah.
But what about the people who don't even have that wedding, that holiday? Where do they just coast along? And like that's another thing. So can you not just make up a goal, but can you get some sort of focus out of no real big event to go to, but just still make progress?
So say like in a year, you've got no like huge events or whatever.
And again, it's like, oh, I'd like to lose weight. That's kind of a bit general in a way.
Fluffy.
Like, yeah. So it's not a tangible goal that, yeah, I'd like to lose weight. How much? By when? What's the real reason behind it? There's, like I say, peeling back the onion. Then there's a couple of different layers of, it's not because of want to lose weight, it's because you want to fit into that dress or those jeans again. It's because the way not just people see you, but how you feel in it, and you know, going deeper and deeper. If you don't have any particular real timeline to be ready for as well, it can be hard.
Yeah.
How do we get members to do that? So obviously,
we work with our obviously United Day plans, stuff like that along those lines, and often it's nice to have an end goal or target. But if not, yeah, I suppose you've got to try and go, right, okay, at some point I want to, you know, there'll be people who come along who've been training with us for multiple years, and then they hit like in their mind a plateau, but that's probably because they haven't really connected as well with us. Like, there'd be certain people, like, I mean, the other day you had James, actually, funny enough, who was on, go, right, I'm going on holiday, and, you know, he's keen, he's on it, and you wrote a holiday plan specifically for him, not just the generic, here's a HIIT training program, here's this, looked at his hotel, looked at the gym equipment, looked at what we're currently doing, his goals, his aims, and then go, right, this is what you're going to go and do. Obviously, you've got to probably taper it down a little bit, because the element of a holiday is you want to get some relaxation, some downtime with your family, you want all that.
Yeah, so I just said to him,
do some moving.
How many times are you going to hit it? How long do you want it to last? And we sort of said, oh, he's going to disappear off for an hour in the morning and just alternate that. So he'll hit about 7 sessions over 2 weeks. Yeah. Was it James? Something like that.
Usually on a holiday, I'll plan best case, maybe like train every other day or something, keep active. But it might turn out that it's maybe just once or twice, but that's fine.
Just to keep
things ticking over, but it's a part, like holidays usually are a bit of a deload from the stresses of always having to kind of be on it. And
a lot of key athletes have time off, right? Yeah. They have an off season and stuff, and they go on holiday and they do whatever.
Oh, five people watching. So give us a wave if you are there. Obviously not to the camera, but yeah. Comment with a little hand or something. Because we may just bring some Q&As in as well. I might ask the people who are watching.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't feel like we've hit that subject yet, though. I don't think we've answered the question. If you haven't got a goal, right, Al, I'm going to come to you. What would you do if I'm Josh, funny enough. I train all the time. I do my thing, but I'm kind of feeling a bit flat. How would we approach, like, giving me a goal, giving me a target? Like, I'm here now and I'm like, right, well, I haven't really got a holiday, I'm not that, I'm kind of losing my buzz. How do I get to it? Like, what do we look at?
So you'd have to look at what you enjoy doing and just sort of ask lots of open questions about what you enjoy doing, how often you do it, you know, what did you like about the last thing you did, and then...
Be careful what answers you get there.
Yeah. And just basically get some goals from there, because I've been working with Will recently, who's been training with us for a while, and he's constantly gone through having holidays and things and doing sort of mini cuts, if you like, to get down to weight. And now we're working on strength goals, so he's starting to up his strength training. So cool. You might come to me and say, oh, I really like bench pressing or squatting, but why don't we work up and increase your bench and then create a program around that to get you stronger on your pushing or your squatting or...
Yeah,
you know, if it might even be a mobility thing, like, oh, I really enjoyed doing deadlifting, but I stopped because all the time my back was getting tight and this and that. So then we have to look at outside the box of what's causing that.
So
and
the
create,
result
create
is
things around that.
Something from the initial like program, the focus, but the extra results could be like increasing your squat total, or your lift, your numbers. And that would be if you obviously had the diet in check. There'd be some weight loss, there'd be some strength gains and total.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's the nice thing is that you do often, whenever you hit some sort of goal or target, get other bits flowing in that are benefits. So
without looking at the numbers and stuff.
And freaking out about stepping on the scales. But if you gave me, for instance, a squat target or whatever it may be.
It won't just be the training type that will get you there. There'll be other influences like your food, your rest, your mobility, work, everything you do outside. So.
That is actually, like, I mean, to be fair, that just popped up. So, but the weekend, someone said to me, but you're always all about weights. I don't know if they were saying it as if that's a good thing, a bad thing, or whatever. And
you all were like...
No, me, personally. And she went, so what cardio do you do? Like, because you've obviously got to do your cardio. And I said, to be honest with you, it's probably where I'm laziest. Like,
kind of strength if you get the weights right
at
the bar.
Exactly. And as I said, there's times I'll up the volume and stuff like that. Yeah, if you say cardio to people, they often go, right, it's running, it's swimming, jogging, walking, cycling, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it wasn't my biggest passion, and it isn't my biggest passion.
Hello, Jane.
Hi, Jane. I'm just trying to
read. Hi, Jane, I can't read.
I haven't even got my glasses.
I can't read out there in a second.
So... And she asked why I always focused on weights, and like when I basically did want to lose weight, she was almost like, I suppose you're not really a person to talk to if I want to lose weight, although you've had loads of people lose weight, is that just because they do the classes? I was like, hang about, so where are you going from this? So you know that we can get results in weight loss. She was saying that I don't need to lose weight, but I don't get fat, basically, in her eyes, are the words she used. But I don't do cardio, so she couldn't understand why I did the weight. So I said, well, listen, for me, I'm not trying to lose weight. I don't actually enjoy getting sort of a lot smaller, which I can do by increasing my output, you know, or decreasing my input sort of thing of food. I like eating. I like doing that. I love lifting and getting under a bar and pushing that. So I do something that I enjoy. But also, the difference for me is that when she actually, like, she never actually asked me why I do it, what I really want out of it. I do it because I like to try and not be funny, try and look half decent in clothes or keep shape and do that. And that's what I enjoy.
Saying, like, probably, I don't know if this is my personal thing, but the self-improvement of always getting stronger.
That's it, being
strong. I want to be like the best version I can be.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm stronger, if I'm more capable to do stuff, then that's a good thing, right?
But that's it. We know it. Go on.
Nobody's ever maintained doing something they don't like. Right? So you can't just say that.
Unless there's such a goal at the end that forces them to do that. So, like, I don't know, just use an example. Eddie Izzard ran those marathons back-to-back-to-back for how many days?
Yeah.
I can guarantee by the end of it, he was thinking this is a bad idea, but he did it because of it was
very charitable to achieve that. If just somebody said to him, oh, just for your day-to-day just go and do a marathon every day, it's never going to sustain that.
Correlation between the enjoyment and
the
outcome is good for you anyway, then that's where people who get the best results do something consistently that they enjoy, that it doesn't really impact their life too much. Like if we said, you're never going to eat anything but... Well, we use the old bodybuilding thing of chicken, broccoli and rice. Plain, no sauce.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All you're going to do is just jump on that bike every session you do, just half an hour, every day.
Live the dream.
As hard as you can. Chicken, broccoli and rice.
You'll
be in shape in, say, 3 months.
Yeah, you're miserable.
Brilliant. Okay.
Week one goes. And that, and everyone will hate you.
Week one will fly by and then...
Wow. You will be boring. You won't be able to relate to anyone. Who can relate to that person?
You have the person... What was the first bit?
Huh?
You have the personality of a...
Well, I think I said Nat.
Nat?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how much personality they've got. I've never met one, but...
Natalie's?
No, not like a Natalie. I don't know. Okay.
But my answer when I come back to work was, she said she loves going onto the treadmill doing all this or whatever for half an hour. Because it makes her lose weight. And then, literally about 10 minutes after, she went, what do I need to do to get my legs? Like, she followed on Instagram. Fantastic body. I get it, right? But a lot of it looked quite well lit, all right? Looked all that. Never saw any sort of cellulite, no stretch marks, no nothing, however. Yeah, she might be phenomenal, and fair play to her, this woman who was on Instagram. I've got to find out.
She's called Insta-scam.
Insta-scam, love
that.
Witty. Yeah. Quick. Heard it before, haven't
I sat here for about a minute thinking that, by the way.
No way you got that.
It wasn't that quick.
But then the difference was, I said to her, you can lose weight, but then you're still not happy. So shaping your body, if you want a decent shaped body, I will half argue that you do need to do some sort of resistance training and do some weights to shape it, to change the muscle.
Well, to be honest.
You're not changing the shape and developing your muscles. Yeah, you can lose weight, which will change your shape technically, because you can tone up running
marathons, but we all see... Again, that comparison of Dwayne Johnson and, forget the sprinter.
Dwayne Johnson, the steroid shoes.
Yeah. Well, his body
fantastic.
Shape, his body shape compared to one of the...
Usain Bolt versus like a Mo Farah-like job.
Tiny compared to the sprinter, who's all muscle and power. But obviously they're very extreme. But the marathon runner is like not shaped. His muscles are toned. They're not very big. They're not very strong to lift heavy weights, to go short, sharp distances. You can go for a very long time, but...
They're built to do what they're trying
what
to
I'm
do.
Saying is, not many people go onto Instagram and go, oh, I want Mo Farah's bum, or the equivalent of, or what's her name, Paula Radcliffe's bum and legs.
Have any because, like,
but that's it, that's what I'm saying. They're going on there and they're seeing these women who, no doubt, undoubtedly, squat and do this, that and the other. Now, they may not tell you they do a lot of that sort of style of training, because they might be saying, it's because I have booty or whatever the supplement is, or it's because I have this protein powder, or it's because I do these body weight kickbacks, 100 reps, so they can sell you that program. It's not the truth. Like, I mean, not be funny, but when I went into doing the combat, I was literally with some of the Instagram models you would have seen. Like, they were on stage and they were going through it, and I can promise you, half of them were talking about their prep, about the weights they're lifting and doing that. Well, Katie got like fantastic. Welcome, Katie, to the chat. But what I mean, phenomenal like job she's doing, and that's because she's now. Yeah. I mean, it's less than a year, isn't it? I mean, I don't even know how many months. I mean, if you could pop that down, Katie, that'd be great. But the shape she's in now, it's incredible. But she shaped her body. Like, Katie Goff definitely could go into a point of just losing weight, and she could have done that and just lost weight, and yeah, she might have been happy, but she wouldn't have. She'd look terrible.
No, Katie, you would look terrible.
But
in general,
but what I'm saying is the way she looks now is not being funny. Strong, shapely. Like, she's a mother. She's, you know, works hard. She, you know, she's in great shape. But that's due to the fact she's introduced resistance training, and it's given her a whole lease and a buzz of doing those things, which, you know, but that's exactly it. I mean, her original goal was probably
July. She's been with us since last July.
Like, say, let's go 7, 8 months, 9 months. Okay, so I mean, that's a fair track,
seven,
right?
7, 8, 9.
Nearly within the 1 to 12 region of months.
It was warm when she started.
Yeah, that's it. We're coming back to
it's
the warmth.
Getting warmer now.
And not being funny, that's a big thing, right? So, I mean, I was wearing a linen top earlier. That is down to the fact I put my training top, and it was one of my getting rid of tops. Got quite a lot of abuse for that, to be honest.
You do that. Ends up here.
Yeah,
right. Sue's getting rid of
it's Sue's crop linen top. But what I'm saying is, like, we're now getting to that position, that point where people are probably going to get a bit skin out if they're comfortable with it. Some people really aren't going to be comfortable with it. But if you can start to be more comfortable with yourself and, you know, start to increase that exercise and start to look at the whole picture. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, I eat really well. And then I ask them, yeah, I mean, it's just how much. I mean,
you know, I'll have this, or I'll have a little bit of this. How much of this? Oh, yeah, this. Okay, so you eat well 60% of the time.
Yeah.
The other 40% way outweighs the.
And even when you say then, you go, right, okay, so you eat pretty well. The thing is, right, and they're like, yeah, so it must be my training. Honestly, I could put you on the most magnificent, right, do 1,000 reps in 10 minutes of the heaviest weight in the world, whatever it may be, you know, craziest training plan. But if I'm only seeing you for, say, 4 hours a week, it's less than, like, I think it's less than 4% of your week or something crazy. You see one of those Instagram facts. But, and then you're eating well, but you don't know how much you're eating. You don't really know if it is well. It's your version of well. My version of well may be different to someone's. I'm not saying ours is perfect, but we know the science behind it because that's something we do regularly, is we read it. So your well may be like, I don't have any chocolate, I don't know. But your well might be like, I have a 100-calorie chomp bar. Okay, once a day, but the rest of it's on point. You get your protein in, you keep your calories right, you know, in those things. You might go, right, someone might go, I hate consuming sort of protein, right? Well, how can I manipulate your nutrition, your diet, so that you don't have to feel like you're having crazy amounts, but you're having enough to retain the muscle that you're working through because you're doing resistance training, you're shaping your body, you're feeling good, you're energetic, and you can actually live your life. Like, one of my clients was saying, oh, I'm feeling really fatigued at the moment, and I said, he said, who should I go see? Do you know, I was like, Are you joking? I was like, he's like, oh yeah. And I said, let me start with your nutrition. He's like, oh, I don't want to do anything with my nutrition. You know me. Very relaxed about it. I was like, I'm telling you now, if we get your nutrition on point, even just approach it in somewhat shape or form, we're going to transform your whole life. Like, I do believe your nutrition is so, like, I don't care what anyone really says. I'll battle that through. What you're putting into your body is huge.
Yeah, your body will use everything that goes in to a degree. It's going to be, obviously, individual people have certain likes or intolerances or, you know, things that react to their body that they won't agree with. So it's not the point that everyone has to eat a whole balanced diet of everything, but finding the things that work well for you, of course.
Write down, like, not being funny, but 4 protein sources you like. Just 4. Like, that could be, you know, as we talk about things like that.
Most people rotate through, like, was it 7, 9 foods or something?
That's what I'm saying. So if you did that and then did 5, 6, 7 vegetables, 3 or 4 fruits, and then some other bits in terms of, like, fats or whatever. And if you don't know what they are, then obviously we can work out and help that with you, really simply. If you did that, A, you can create probably about 300 meals through that, but B, you probably won't. You'll probably have 4 or 5 different meals. Yeah, I mean, I can tell you what you eat from Monday to Friday. It's that here. I think you've even got, like, a wrap on a Tuesday night, tuna wrap with, because you're late on the thing.
Mondays.
Sorry, Mondays. Weird, I got that wrong.
Nothing, you know.
Absolutely not mad then. But
calls himself a friend.
Doesn't even make me raps. And but I mean, that's crazy. Like, it's this similar sort of thing. We know our lazy lunch. Like, we both say about our lazy lunch today: tuna, wrap, potentially avocado, peppers.
My lazy lunch is yesterday's kind of roast dinner type casserole thing.
Nice on a Monday. Yeah, but that's decent.
Lamb, potatoes, veg.
So good. I made a big chicken thigh dish the other night, and I just basically sort of half took a recipe and half did my own thing. So good. And it's slow cooked, so I just sat there whilst I was doing absolutely nothing. It lasted me like 3 meals, most people probably 4 or 5 meals.
You prepped them for about a day.
Yeah, literally for a day because I didn't really stop. But it was fantastic and it was so easy. And that's the other thing is people try and make things super crazy when they're trying to be nutritious and like healthy and all that sort of stuff.
What's the biggest basically. Progress killer is too much to do, overwhelm. The biggest thing we can say really to take away from goal setting and planning just checking his watch. Yeah, we've been on 25 minutes so far. We'll wrap it up soon, don't worry. So the biggest progress killer is obviously too much to do, too many things to think about, giving yourself too many tasks or focus points. So if you flip that on the other way around, obviously the biggest success point is keeping things simple.
Yeah.
Having something, like I say, not even just an end goal, say if it was weight loss, it could be, right, I want to focus on getting better at lifting a bar or maybe have just learning the kettlebell swing properly.
Yeah.
And then you're going up the weights, like the coloured kettlebells we've got. Right, I want to, by summer, I want to be swinging that 16 kilo kettlebell in perfect form.
Yeah,
and just focusing on something new potentially as well.
Yeah, exactly. And focusing on something new or something that's going to be not the numbers that get you down as such is probably one of the biggest takeaways.
The other week was Zara. Like Zara's one of our, you know, she's a fantastic like athlete. She teaches Pilates, she's got great control in her movements. So I was like, right, let's go do the clean and press with the kettlebell. And she was a bit like, okay. And one of her big things was she was almost over-controlled in the movement. So it was chucking her into a different position, a different thing.
Jules, just catching the end of this.
Jules. Oh, I saw Jules last Saturday night.
Oh, drinking, weren't you?
Right.
He apologises for anything he did, Jules. When he's had a couple of...
And said,
yeah. And red wine.
No, they would all look good in their rock choir. Ali and
rocking out.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool. I think if we like sort of... I mean, if anyone's going to Q&A, just chuck them in now. And obviously, you may not be watching this right now, so chuck it down. And
5 minutes
or
so, we'll fire a few.
Whilst we're doing that, we're going to chat absolute rubbish. So I'm going to ask you, if this was like, tomorrow was your last day, right?
What? On Earth?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's big.
Tomorrow is.
Okay. Right, see you later.
I'm off.
What are you doing? Last day. Like, what things do you enjoy? Last day. Obviously, you've got the whole family thing. You've got to spend time with them. Yeah. I mean, all right, no offence, but sack off the family.
That is the first thing I do, yeah.
See you later, guys. Bye!
Hey,
guys, it's my last day. Don't want to speak to you.
Yeah, good question.
No family. Like, no, let's not be funny. Let's be blokes here. No emotion. Like, really, no heart. What are you doing?
Well, there's not much time, is there?
Yeah, you can't be travelling anywhere, surely. You haven't got the time.
Yeah,
or you can just go...
All right, you can go, and you're there. You're somewhere
I'd probably be like, if I hadn't done already, I'd probably drive a... fast car, ride a fast car bike, because you're on the, it doesn't matter if you come off really, does it, and stack it into a wall, because you're going to not be in tomorrow.
So you've made it shorter, the very 24 hours.
Last day then.
No, oh, it was the first thing I did.
I would like to then go into the control, obviously, but a bit of sort of risk, bit of adrenaline, bit of fun, jump out of plane, done it, been there, done that, that's all right.
Yeah, you're going to struggle to get things that are quite adrenaline rushy, really, aren't
you? Yeah, so, just put my feet up.
Chill out.
Ride a motorbike around like Nürburgring or something and then just chill with a beer. And then...
Brew, barbecue boy.
Watch the sun go down. That's it. Good night.
Do it on the holiday then. Book a holiday and get it done. There you go, simple.
Probably try and have a pint in a pub in as many countries as I could in my 24 hours.
But that's such a terrible waste of time.
You'd spend most of the time queuing for customs.
No, I could go anywhere like that,
okay,
right?
Sure.
Oh, I thought the initial thing was you were there.
Anyway. So what?
Yeah, well, I can't just go somewhere and then keep hopping.
So it's
changing the rules.
Four pints later, then you're on the floor.
Yeah, you can't remember your last day then.
Have we got any questions coming in?
Jules was just saying there was loads of people from the gym at the bridge on Saturday. There always is, Jules. Every time I go in there, there's someone from the gym in the bridge.
Every day.
Every day.
It's because we're really hammering the whole thing.
Yeah. Other nice restaurants and bars are available. Are we allowed to? Do we have to say that?
You can say that if you want. What would you do?
Before we wrap up, I don't know really. I think
Josh would walk around in his pants.
Probably be very little clothing on. Maybe pants.
Maybe
pants.
That's the last day, isn't it? Like, not going to get too much abuse on my afterwards. Like, so obviously do a bit of manscaping prior. And then I think what I'd do is I would go out. I'd probably do a bit of scuba diving because I like the sea stuff. So I'd come out of there. Then I'd get onto the boat. Tanning, beers, drinking, stuff like that.
I actually thought something I'd actually do now.
Okay. Catch your time, mate. And if I'm honest, I'd probably go on a massive boozing session and hopefully, in the politest possible way, have lots of sex. which made you two go quiet. Would you not go for that? Maybe a little bit sec. Maybe in the last 2 minutes of my life. No?
How much could you actually get in 24 hours?
Well, to be honest, I won't go into it, but I probably cracked that out quite early on, and then it's done. Maybe come back to it later. So we don't need to talk about that, though.
Such a choice of words.
But, yeah, no, but do you know what I mean? You just got to do the things you enjoy.
Everyone's gone.
I'd see lots of people.
Yeah, that's...
It's fine.
But, yeah, no, so eat all of my favourite foods, drink all my favourite drinks, sunshine, hopefully listen to some sort of bongo drums, that sort of stuff, cool. Have a couple of rappers around, dropping beats, and then maybe, like, some crazy hip-hop music video.
I feel like you put that question in because this was going on in your head and you'd had to sort of...
No, and what I was going to say is I'd actually work out on that day to get my pre-pants pump on. that's not a great sentence. Have you just stopped the recording now because of that?
No.
Oh, it's pre-pants pump.
Stop.
Wow. But you know what I'm saying. Would you not work out on your last day? I think I would.
I don't know. Is there time?
There's no time.
Of course there is. Well, not if you're going around the Nürburgring and you're going to kill yourself. And I don't know what you're doing. You're going from one point to another, rock and roll. That's, what were you going to do anyway? What was your thing to come to?
I thought I want to see a blue whale.
Yeah, see, come dive with me.
Come dive with me?
Come dive. I eat blue whale. I don't eat blue whale. Wow, that's... Wow. Definitely don't eat blue whale. That was really sad, actually. Did you see those whales on the coast of Australia?
No.
You won't go to it. It's going to make
me emotional.
But also,
you're going to probably get the...
Should we take some questions for 5 minutes?
Well, we tried to, but I don't actually ask that, Federation. I think. Is there any questions?
Ask us something, guys, before we go completely crazy on this.
Or don't, and we can pretend that someone asked something, because that's what people do on social media.
Jules was just saying she had a dream. Jane said something.
Jules said, looking for exercises to do at home that don't put stress on neck and shoulders.
So headstands are terrible for that. So
don't do any headstands. Or break dancing.
But in all seriousness, if you're someone at home that does a lot of crunches and things like that, and you're often straining through the neck, it's a bad idea, you know, say, yeah, press-ups and stuff like that.
Why are you wasting your time on your floor doing crunches all day long?
Yeah, I mean, to
I don't know if Jules is doing crunches.
Oh, no, just
in general.
So, obviously, you can do a lot of bodyweight things at home to alleviate stress. Leg things and stuff, I know, for your movement bits, even working to a chair, you could be squatting to a chair, you could be working through there, some lunges, even support just to alleviate a lot of core pressure, probably body weight going through. So I think a lot of time when you look at movements and things, if you look at sort of what I'd call pregressions, so for if you're finding something tough, putting strain on you, you can obviously manipulate your workout through like time under tension when you're at home, if you're doing things at home. So sounds daft, but Jules, if you're doing a squat at home, if you just take that time, like we have fun in sessions where you go 4, 3, 2, 1, hold it nice and tight, and then push through your heels, squeeze up. But if you are finding that's putting pressure because you're holding your upper back up and that's hurting your neck, then obviously you want to alleviate and go to movements maybe don't feel that pressure in. It's quite a tough one in fairness, because a lot of the time we're looking at creating what we talk about a neutral spine, and obviously you don't want to completely collapse your neck, but obviously that would be putting strain on anyway. So you want to find yourself in a position that you find comfortable. So whatever positions you find comfortable, I think that things like squats, lunges would be a very comfortable movement potentially to be doing. And obviously you can work that in different planes of motion. So you might do it like a lateral lunge, so stepping to the side, coming up, even like your curtsy lunges, the transverse lunge, rotation through
step
those
ups.
Hips. Yeah, it might be a step up, see if you've got somewhere to be doing that.
The hard thing at home is obviously not having any equipment, so you're limited to doing any pulling movements that obviously involve even just using household objects. Even if you've got like a rope behind, put it around something to pull yourself, like we used with TRXs.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you're pretty limited to any back movements or pulling movements or rowing movements, so it is always lower body or pushing.
But even if you say you did want to work your abs, you could lay down completely flat, hands by your side, and just an extension, just slowly dropping down the heel to the ground, working one at a time, keeping a slight bend in the knee until you can increase the length of the leg so you're not arching that lower back, working through those kinds of movements. Hopefully that way, even if you support your head and neck with a pillow or something along those lines when you're doing those kind of movements, you could work throughout those. We can definitely send you a video of a couple of movements to that, Jules, and not funny, show you the movements in-house. If you have got any equipment as well, obviously let us know and we can obviously utilise that, whether it be bands, quite a good one for that. You know, if you've just got a light band, a resistance band for things along those lines. Seated stuff can often alleviate the pressures coming through, if you are feeling that in your neck and back. So it's quite tough, but obviously these are things we can work on with you on a one-to-one basis there. Hopefully that helps in some way. Was there other questions? Is there any?
There's nothing else.
I don't know, unless Jake. I
mean, 12:30 is probably quite a questionable time to be chucking out alive, but as you know, in the evenings it gets pretty busy.
Did
Jane said something. What's that up there?
Oh, James was saying about she got her weight goal smashed before Christmas, now putting it back on and fighting to get back in the zone.
Yeah, so
that's in terms of goals, how...
So Jane probably just needs to try something new. So I spoke to, obviously I trained Jane's husband as well. So we mentioned potentially getting Jane just to jump in on a strength session with me and just to try go through some,
yeah,
just try something new, Jane, basically. I mean, because you move really well in the classes and you smash through those. So it's sometimes just a case of trying something new.
Yeah, people get to a limit where what we can only do so much within a larger group session, that there has to be almost a step up and a new challenge, because they kind of hit the limits of what they can do as such. Or yeah,
there might be additional things that Jane enjoys doing outside of it. So the weather's getting nice, you might enjoy jogging. I know you quite like that. It depends on the impacts and stuff, whether it's causing injuries, obviously you can increase that. Might give you something new to do. It's sometimes, as you say, it's quite funny, because you can sometimes smash your goals, and as we said earlier, then you feel like a little bit lost, and you're like, oh no. And it's almost like you've achieved something great, which is amazing. I mean, if that's your Christmas goal or whatever, you've done that really well, that's phenomenal, you know.
But then, the same sort of thing, going
it's about resetting, refocusing, maybe taking a different approach. I actually know when I dieted, as a random one, I personally enjoyed setting myself new ways of dieting, and that sounds really odd. Say my calories, I'm just putting easy numbers out there, was 2,000 calories each day, and I kind of stuck to that with my protein intake and whatever. I actually then started to vary it and went lower calories on certain days and higher on other days.
To make it different.
Just to make it different. And that sounds really silly, but I was like, right, I've got a humongous like leg session, which, you know, for the majority of people, if they're really hard, this feels quite draining. And I was like, right, the thing I enjoy the most out of my dieting food or the nutrition I was following was a post-workout shake with a bit of almond milk in it. It just tastes like a milkshake to me. And I used to look forward to that. So, sounds sad, but what I did was I included an extra shake into one of my days directly after my training. Not because there was a 20-minute window that I had to get in, but that's what I really look forward to. So I increased, say, like 250 calories or whatever it was post-training, but then dropped it from another day. So another day I felt like I was a little bit, and I quite enjoyed just doing that. So it could be something like that that I might find interesting. I might go, right, on the weekends I'm going to increase my calories slightly so I can go out and do whatever. And during the week I'm going to drop it a little bit, have one day where I can have a bit of fun, and that makes it a little bit more interesting. So there's different approaches to keeping it in a deficit. I love that you... It's just like zoom in. I think we probably either need a bigger screen or glasses.
Better eyesight, I think. James Major asked how often you should change your goals. It's going to be dependent on what one is, to be honest, James. What one's goal is.
James, I'd say knowing yourself, like you've had like a sort of strength stroke shape goal, and they both kind of come hand in hand because you've been training for a while and we've changed the dynamics of your training. For me personally, if I've got a goal and then I achieve it, that's when I change it.
You need to stick at it long enough.
So yeah,
problem is,
can't go, well, I've got to change every 6 weeks. I'm not going to change every 6 weeks because it's 6 weeks. If you haven't got there, then you need to get there, right?
As long as it's realistic and you've planned out how you're going to do it, with help. And
there's enough progression in there to make sure you actually make progress.
That's it. And you know what? If you get to your shape that was, desired, are you happy there? Probably. I know it sounds daft, but we're often like, oh no, I want more, because that kind of always happens. We always kind of want more. So go, right, okay, I can either achieve more and set a slightly and be realistic about the next stage, because often the first stage is probably easier. The second stage, third stage, whatever, tends to get a little bit tougher.
Especially you go, how far do I want to take it? Well.
Yeah, that's it. Or you go, do you know what? I've created a better shape for my body. I'm happy with this. I don't want to be like ripped to shreds because I still want to go out on the weekend, have a drink, socialise, have that sort of lifestyle or whatever. But I still believe I can do that and get stronger. So you then set a slightly similar or different, really, with the strength, but something that still goes inside with the training that you like. There's no point going, right, I've got to this physique, now I'm going to become a champion cyclist, when you don't enjoy cycling. You've gone to strength training, which then you set that goal, and then actually after that strength goal, that may then relate into getting into the different shape again, and it can work along those lines. That's kind of the way I'd like to train.
As long as you keep it realistic.
Keep it real.
Don't try and turn into a robot, especially things with nutrition. Don't say to yourself, right, I'm not going to I mean, I know people do like the no alcohol things, and that's fine because it's like a charitable thing and it's a bit more of a challenge. But if it's not sustainable and realistic, don't bother because you won't do it. Like, I've had people say, oh yeah, I'm going to make sure every night after work I'm going to go for a half an hour run. Well, how long?
That's probably, again, going back to the too many things committed. Yeah.
How long are you actually going to keep that up for? Because you just won't. Definitely won't.
Start small. Just have the same.
Make it realistic and visualise yourself actually doing it, because a lot of the times you won't be able to do it. Or you'll get bored and sack it off.
Keep it simple. Stupid.
Yeah. So lay there and visualise yourself running for half an hour and keep it simple. Don't do anything. Is that what you're
got? I think Katie just asked a question, didn't she? And then
I can't read.
Scrolled up. So you said about goes off the top. How many conditioning and advanced sessions is going to be best, like optimal, basically? Because last week I think she trained quite hard and then felt quite deflated or motivated and stuff. So, well, I think we'll just wrap up this one.
Yeah, cool. So, Katie, you say once again, it's dependent on the individual. Depends on your goals, your targets, and stuff along those lines. For us, working with your tough advanced stuff, if you're doing, say, 4 advanced sessions, for me, I quite like to go, right, I'll probably go for, if I was doing, say, 4 advanced sessions, 4 weighted sessions, I'd probably want a couple of conditioning sessions, maybe one full day of relaxing, which might be walking and stuff. Now, in terms of the session, you might, like you do, you might back-to-back a couple. So you might want to do that, say, twice in a week if you fancy that. Then do your other strength stuff. But as you say, if you're feeling like it's too draining, A, you've got to approach your nutrition and stuff alongside that, because that's going to be key. You need to have the energy to be able to do that. But if you're, and a lot of people do, become sort of freaked out by eating more and don't eat more because they're worried about the shape change, then you've got to be aware of how much energy you're expending, okay, and expending. Because you can't go, right, well, I'm going to do 6 conditioning sessions, 4 tough advanced, but I'm still going to be eating the same calorie deficit that I was doing when I first started only doing 3 conditioning classes, because your body is going to need more. And actually, it's a nice way to be able to do it. If you are able to up your training, if you're good when you're training more, fueling yourself a little bit more is not a bad thing. But if you're kind of one of those people who go, oh, I can't eat that much, I don't feel comfortable eating that much, then there's got to be an element of giving your body the break it needs, right? You can't go, well, I'm going to put £10 worth of petrol into you, but I expect you to drive to Yarmouth and back. It doesn't happen. Your car's going to be it's going to be in bits. So you got to fill up, you got to work that way, and you've got to be optimally performing. And if you want to drive a sports car, so you want to rattle it and go hard, like you're doing at the moment, smashing it, you know, you're working hard, you're going fast, then as we all know, sports cars need more fuel, right? They need to do it. So that's kind of my little analogy, if that works. If you're not into sports cars, it means nothing.
Or just listening to your body as well and then getting that rest when you feel you need to, because we can just, what's that?
Well, ignition.
Just be clear in your head, Katie, like why you think you want to be doing that. Like if you're smashing 2 or 2, maybe 3 sessions in a day sometimes.
Sometimes not necessarily.
Not necessarily like that, but why do you feel like you need to do that or want to do it, if that's what's the goal? Yeah, so just be clear on what it is you want to get out of that. Because obviously you've come from sort of, you lost a lot of weight and did really well in great shape. So now what's the goal? What's the target? So the nutrition side of it will probably need looking at again.
With strength training, added strength training, you're going to need to get that recovery as well, because we know that it's going to be a bit more demanding.
And if you're feeling drained now and then you try and repeat that this week and the following week, I'm going to assure you it doesn't get any better. Your body just, may slightly adapt to it, but it will in turn. And not being funny, it's like us when we hit Christmas, often if we work loads of hours, you hit that break time, you go on holiday, you stop for a little bit, and then you're just like, and it kind of hits you, and your body will take a hit. Like, you'll end up getting, run down, colds and stuff like that, unless you're really supporting your body nutritionally. So, we can definitely work on those things as well. I think this tough talk has lasted as long as... Loose men. Or Lorraine. I keep trying to put Lorraine in there. We discussed her earlier. I think I like Lorraine, but I don't see it anymore. GMTV. Used to watch it as a kid. Don't get to see that anymore.
You work in, aren't you? That's why.
Work gets in the way of Lorraine. Yeah. That's the fact. So you all right, Alex?
I literally can't read. I'm trying to see what Bernie said.
Bernie!
Good old Bernie. Problem I'm having at the moment since stopping smoking, I have a biscuit instead. Well, that's habit, isn't it, Bernie?
Because the appetite will obviously increase as well with the stopping of smoking. That's something that goes hand in hand. So it's going to have to be...
Yeah.
How can you change that habit of a biscuit instead of something else, like, I don't know,
sack the person that's buying the biscuits, Bernie.
Yeah.
Sack them off.
Sack himself off.
Sack yourself.
Maybe, I know it sounds daft having a bottle of water or something like that. I know that sounds probably completely ridiculous, But give yourself something to do. So it's basically give yourself something to do, isn't it? It's habitual, and that's what we've got to be doing, is creating new habits, getting rid of old habits that aren't so great, but doing it one at a time. Like, this is a big step for your health. You're probably, you know, better off having, you know, a biscuit, I guess, in terms, because, you know, you can not only work hard and out-train that biscuit health.
If it's just one.
Decrease if it's one. But the smoking, like going for a 20-minute jog, isn't going to make your lungs much better, right? So it's kind of a good step, but now we're going to try and work on another step. So can we maybe increase that by having some water or something like that? I don't know. But I mean, we can. I mean, that's quite tough, but it's definitely something we can work on. It's better to have that half a biscuit, whatever it is, a day, exercise than it is having a cigarette or 20 cigarettes or whatever it will be.
He sacked someone last week, he said.
Oh, good. Okay. Right. Wrapping up. Biscuit buyers, you're out, you're sacked off.
Yeah.
Remember, set yourself a goal. If you haven't got a goal, let's get a goal set, right? Let's look at it. If you haven't got a holiday or a wedding or a birthday or whatever, everyone's got a birthday, right? I mean, don't worry about that. You don't have to be your celebrating birthday. But give yourself something to work to. And if you do, and it's realistic, then you're going to work harder. It's the fact. So you'll give yourself an achievement, you'll get satisfaction out of it, then re-go again. And if you don't want to re-go again and make yourself better in terms of pushing on too hard on the target, at least have a get-out plan in which you don't go, right, I haven't had chocolate or alcohol or whatever because you've gone super strict and then binge on everything in once. So have a get-out plan. If you don't have a goal and you're unsure of that, sit down with us, contact us, do whatever you need to do, and we can really work on those things. It has been a long one, guys. So hopefully you've watched some of it, listened to some of it, and we've really enjoyed doing this. And Q&As, please fire them and we can get back to you.
We can get back to you, yeah, in our own time.
Well, peace.
Bye-bye.